us. In the last training sessions, I talked about the 52 stages of bodhisattvas, bodhisattvas practice in detail. And after my talk, one of the students asked me what is the preparatory stage of the practice in order to get into the 52 stages of bodhisattva practices. So I mentioned simply about that. But today I want to get into that preparatory stage of bodhisattva practice in detail. Additionally, there are three preparatory stages of practice. One is free from body and mind. No, excuse me. First one is the willingness of being free from body and mind. The second, the willingness of being contented with less desire. Third, the willingness of being a person who practices contentedness of allotted clothing, allotted food, allotted a living place, and it is free from delusions. The last one is willingness of being a person who practices contentedness of allotted clothing, allotted food, allotted living the place, and is free from delusions. So first one, willingness of being free from body and mind. This is, it doesn't mean to deny the presence of body and mind, but deny the deluded thoughts, deluded idea of the self, which we have understood usually by our six senses. So that means a very very narrow understanding of the self. This is the willingness of being free from body and mind. Because if you are not free from narrow understanding of the self, it's impossible for us to be one with oneself and another. If you cannot be one with oneself and another, it's impossible for us to have Buddhist compassion. the sharing it with all sentient beings. So, to be free from that narrow understanding of the self is exactly to be free from body and mind, and also to be one with oneself and another. Because by being free from narrow understanding of the self, we can reach, we will be able to reach the source of existence, which is emptiness, which is eternity, which is the truth. Truth is characterized by 4 points. One is emptiness, exactly emptiness. Emptiness means silence. If you, the silence is perfectly silent and pure, nothing to add, any thoughts, anything to it, which is completely pure. You cannot say silence to perfect silence is complete beyond the word silence or not silence. This is called silence because it's pretty hard to say about silence, so that's why we use the word silence. But real silence is which is still, which is pure, which is very calm behind the idea of silence or experience of silence or talking about silence, being with silence. Anywhere behind, before you have experienced the silence, that is real silence. You cannot explain it, you cannot give it to another, but you can be. So, very individual experience. This is very individual. A personal experience. So that's why the truth is emptiness, and also it is very powerful because it is constantly helping all sentient beings inwardly. Regardless of whether you are conscious of it or not, it's always helping, growing, sustaining, supporting inwardly. Anyway, this is one of the characteristics of the truth. And also, in terms of the characteristic of emptiness, truth is completely free from the defilement. So it's very clear, very pure, very silence, very still. but it's dynamic because inwardly it's always supporting, helping all sentient beings. That is the third. Fourth is it, the truth is something which is able to manifest itself and help all sentient beings externally. So you can manifest the truth with your body and mind and help. You can help through your body and mind. So truth is always helping all sentient beings internally and also externally. Externally is teaching. Teaching and form of your behavior, of your thoughts, and also activity, a written word, or whatever it is, everyday life. So internally and externally, truth always helps all sentient beings. This is the understanding of the truth in Buddhism. So, to be free from this narrow understanding of the self is exactly to reach the truth. If you reach the truth, so-called emptiness, you are you, but you are not you. So, simultaneously, that self which is not you is exactly the self which is others self. Okay, self of others exactly the same. So that's why very naturally you can share your life with all sentient beings. So in order to be free from body and mind, there are three important points we have to practice. One is a straightforward mind, and second, deep, profound mind. Third, compassionate mind. Straightforward mind is the aspiration for moving towards the truth directly without having the cricket understanding of the human existence. So anyway, at any cost, we try to move towards truth directly. That is straightforward mind. Straightforward mind. And the second profound mind, that is the aspiration for planting all kinds of good roots for the sake of past, present, future. This is a profound mind. So in our everyday life, we have to make every possible effort to plant all kinds of good roots. Roots is the idea of root is not something surely but it is very strong, very stable. It makes the trees anyway stand up straight, stably, majestically anywhere. So this is a root, regardless of whether all sentient beings are hibernating or not, root is always operating under the ground. So the same applies to the practice. So we have to plant the all kind of good roots, not only for the sake of this present life, but also for the past and also for the future. That is most important point. Usually we do something good for this life or for personally, for person, for oneself, for the self, not for others. But anyway, we have to plant all kinds of good roots for the past, the present, and future. Regardless of whether people can realize what you have done or not, every day we have to plant the root, good roots, for the past, for the present, for the future. This is called merit. We say merit. Very naturally, your mind becomes very profound. Very profound. That's why profound mind. And then this is benefiting the self. Exactly, this is benefiting yourself. Third, compassionate mind. Practice of compassion is to be free from anger, the compassionate mind is the aspiration for saving all sentient beings. To save means to walk people and all beings hand in hand or side by side continually under all circumstances. Usually in the society, human society, if your capability is usable, people will respect you. But if you're not, well, you become an outsider. You are sort of out of the sight in the human society. So, but in the Buddhist world, anyway, we have to walk hand in hand with all sentient beings, wherever you are. So this is a compassion. This is a compassion, constantly. In order to share compassion with all sentient beings, we have to practice, we have to have aspiration for being free from body and mind. Anyway, let's be free from narrow understanding of the self. And then continue. This is really you have to have a great management for your life, systematically, philosophically, psychologically, in moral sense. You have to anywhere arrange. You have to have quick management of your life. This is a straightforward mind toward anywhere, moving toward truth. So let's use your consciousness as best as you can. Then this is a practice of moving toward truth straightly, directly. And then practically you have to plant the good roots, whatever you may be, anyway, every day. That is profound mind. Then naturally compassion comes up like a spring water. That is what is called a willingness of being free from body and mind. Second, a willingness of being contented with less desire. The Buddha mentions about less desire, which means not seeking too much among the objects of the five desires, which are not yet obtained. That is less desire, less desire. It's not a complete destroy or throw away or deny human desire, because whatever you do, we need desire to accomplish. But desire itself is not something wrong. Our desire itself is nothing but a being beyond your speculation, just like trees, birds, pebbles. So desire is one of the all-sufficient beings. You cannot ignore, you cannot destroy at all. But it depends on your attitude, your understanding, your actions, how to use desire. If you use your desire in a small scale, it becomes stinky, very stinky. But you can be, by that desire, you can be successful in doing something, doing what you want to. Yes, you can do. But I don't know. If you see human life for a long run, it is really questionable for us. So if you really want to live a spiritual life or to walk in the Buddha's path, I think we have to really pay attention to this desire, how to use human desire. That's why the Buddha mentions the not seeking too much among the object of five desire. Five desire is five senses and five sensual objects. When the five senses meet their objects, then desire come up. So that is called five desires. So desire itself is always quiet, but when your five senses meet their object, then desires becomes a desire creates its own waves. So that is called really greed. Desire becomes greed. Desire appears greed and or grasp etc. The five desires which are not yet obtained because desire try to get something which you don't have yet. That is a desire. At any cost, we try to get something which you don't have yet. So that's why it says the five desires which are not yet obtained. And also not seeking too much among the object of five desires which are not yet obtained means we have to confine the our necessity to irreducible minimum in our everyday life. The question is, what is the limit of the reducible minimum? This is not a matter of discussion about amount of say desire. But in Buddhism, we say we are paying attention to the quality. So less desire is really quality of desire which is used by person from day to day, right now. For instance, tokens and dimensions in Shobogen or Genjo coin, it mentions when you obtain one thing, you penetrate it. When you are confronted one practice, you practice. And when you are confronted one thing, you have to practice it. Okay. When you obtain one Dharma, one thing, you should penetrate it, permeate it. Anyway, through and through, you should digest it. And when you meet one thing, you have to practice it. And this is the significance of less desire. So not the matter of discussing the amount of desire, but quality of desire, which is really operating from moment to moment in your practice. For instance, this is some limit of the measurement of the reducible minimum. For instance, what you really want to accomplish, one thing in your lifetime, one thing means whatever business or artist or whatever, if you really want to accomplish your lifetime, your spirit, your hope must be huge, must be there, extending into past, present, future, to the 23rd centuries, anyway, forever. Where you should, your spirit must be extended into eternal life. Which means your spirit, your hope must be big, great, huge. You never rest, your consciousness operate every day, paying attention to small things. If your consciousness is always with your spirit, at that time your life, everyday life, is very confused, because your life, your spirit, your consciousness also very huge, so-called image of the peace. If you say your spirit must be peace, sure. But if your consciousness is always the image of the peace, you know, your life is, it's very difficult to deal with your life. So, your spirit, your hope must be peaceful, harmonious, extending into the past, present, future form means whatever happens, under all circumstances, must be peaceful. No excuse, no excuse. For instance, even if somebody attack you, you yourself must be peaceful. This is Buddhistic way. In Alaska, someone asked me, do you protect yourself? Yes, I can protect myself. But question is, in order to protect myself is to be peaceful, to be harmonious from the beginning to end under all circumstances, because I don't have any, you know, arm or weapons, no technique to protect myself. So, but there is a great weapons and technique that is peace, peaceful, harmonious from the beginning to end. Even though if someone attack me, I have to be peaceful. That is I don't mean you should completely commit suicide with somebody's attack. So, next, your spirit must be peaceful under all circumstances. Next, your consciousness operate very quickly, very swiftly, very smart, if not smart, very gently and compassionately, paying attention to small details. So next, you have to think very quickly, what do you do, what you should do. When you have a time to escape, you can escape from dangerous situation. So what I want to tell you is, whatever you want to accomplish in your lifetime, even the small things, okay? Your spirit, your hope must be huge. Otherwise, you cannot do, because world is too busy, too time complicated. And then your consciousness must be operating, working, the end accomplish small things every day. That is which is called a willingness of being contented with less desire. Third, willingness of being a person who practices contentedness of allotted clothing, allotted food, allotted living place. Well, not in a sense, strictly speaking, we all have our allotted proportions in life, allotted clothing in life, our allotted food, our allotted living place in life. So no matter how you struggle for making money, sometimes you can't do it. But I don't mean you should be lazy, or you should be struggling for being. You know, the being, being rich and too much, okay? But remember, your life is. Has been already, allotted. Under the allotted circumstances, then we will have to do our best to live beyond. Limitation of the food, limitation of the clothing, limitation of the living place, anywhere we have to live. We have to do our best. But usually people always think by our effort we can do, we can get, we can obtain everything. Clothing, food, living place, whatever. But that is really perverted. Dogen Zenji mentions in the Life and Death, he says, life is like being on board and rowing a boat. This is very important. We are already being on board. And you board the water, the river, the other shore, this shore, trees, birds, all sentient beings, anyway moving together. But we forget this one. We
don't pay attention to that situation. But we only pay attention to just row the boat, forgetting being on board before you row the boat. Without being on board, you cannot row the boat. So that's why most of the people try to do our best to get, to obtain, to be successful in doing something by our effort. It seems to be wonderful, but the more you try to do, the more you create irritation or restlessness, because there is no space, no flexible, vast space where you can accept all such beings. You just think of yourself, because you want to gain, you want to obtain everything by yourself, by your effort. That is really perverted. It makes you really irritate. It makes you really being rash, being in hurry, and irritate. That's big problem. Life is just like a big mountain nestled in the vastness of nature. Mountain itself doesn't exist by itself, even though it is beautiful. In order to manifest itself as beauty, as exquisite, mountain must be present with all sentient beings. Then mountain becomes very beautiful and exquisite and stable, majestic, and helps all sentient beings naturally. So life is already like a mountain nestled in the vastness of nature, all sentient beings. This is your life, individual life. And then, individually, personally, we have to row the boat. This is our effort. But if you forget that most important point, being on board, you become very realistic, you become very selfish and irritated, creating stress naturally. So, no space to be flexible. So then, that's why here says the willingness of being a person who practices contentedness of allotted clothing, allotted food, allotted living place, and is free from delusions. Delusions are to have narrow understanding of human existence. That is delusions. So, very naturally, we have to do our best to be free from illusions. Naturally, we can reach the bottom of existence, so-called emptiness, where we can share ourselves with all sentient beings, except in equality. Then compassion comes up.